理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 23. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once.After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11.Go to bed and get some rest, Peter. You have to get up early tomorrow.
But I have to study. We're going to have a history test tomorrow morning. I failed the last test, so I must pass this one.
What is the probable relationship between the two speakers? Question 12. Are you sure you don't mind buying the concert tickets? I wouldn't be able to pay you back until Friday when I get paid.
No problem. I'm glad I can help, and we'll be able to go together.
What does the man mean?
Question 13. Let's stop in here to eat. The menu looks good to me, and I'm hungry now.
Fine. I think this is a good place. Anyhow, any place will have better food than the student cafeteria.
Where are the speakers probably going?Question 14. Where did you take this one? It's very nice indeed.
It's San Diego. Look at how beautiful the bay is in the background.
What are the speakers doing?
Question 15. Peter, we're leaving at 5. Have you returned your room key?
No, I will get Sam to do it.
What does the man mean?
Question 16.Oh, Nancy, who presented you with that marvelous gift?
I just can't come up with anyone. I do hope he reveals himself soon, because I'm dying of curiosity.
What does the woman hope?Question 17. Susan told me you were on a diet. How much weight have you lost?
Well, to start with, I weighed 160 pounds. The first 2 weeks, I took off 10 pounds, but then I gained back 3 over the holiday.
How much does the woman weigh now?Question 18.
This room is filled with smoke. I can hardly breathe.
I agree. Smoking should not be permitted in this room.
What can be concluded from the conversation? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. Good morning, Mr. Pitt. Do sit down.
Thank you.
First of all, Mr. Pitt, I'd like you to tell me a bit about what you've been doing.
Well, I took 4 subjects in school. French, German, chemistry, and art. Chemistry wasn't my cup of tea, but art always has been.
Art?
Well, I really wanted to study art. It didn't turn out like that because a friend of my father's offered me a job. He's an accountant in London. A quite big firm, you know.
I see. A firm of accountants. Interesting. In your application, you say that you only spent 9 months with this firm of accountants. Why was that?
It was nearly a year, actually. Well, to be quite honest, I didn't like it. I just couldn't seem to get interested in the job, although there were fairly good prospects. So I got a place at the art college to do a 3-year diploma course.
I see. Now, Mr. Pitt, what about hobbies and interests? What do you do in your spare time?
I like jazz, traditional and folk music. I don't play, of course, but I go to quite a lot of concerts, and I go to the theater occasionally and act a bit myself. I'm in the local dramatic society. I read quite a lot, and I've done a bit of photography. Also, I've traveled a lot. Hitchhiked all over Europe. Last year, that was.
Very interesting, Mr. Pitt. I think that's all I wanted to ask about your background.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the probable relationship between the woman and the man? Question 20. Why didn't Mr. Pitt study art immediately after he left school? Question 21. What does Mr. Pitt like doing in his spare time? Conversation 2. Hi, Janet. Where were you at lunchtime? I was saving a seat for you in the cafeteria.
Oh, sorry to miss you, but my thirst for knowledge was greater than my pains of hunger.
I never had that problem. So, where were you?
My political science class ran overtime.
That's been happening quite a bit lately, hasn't it?
I guess so. Actually, what happens is that a bunch of us hang around for a while after class to talk with our professor and ask him questions.
Who is this 20th century Socrates?
Professor Howell. Have you heard of him?
He does have a good reputation in the political science department.
And a well-deserved one. The same students who fall asleep in discussion groups and seminars fight for front row seats in his lectures.
Oh no, I hope this isn't catching.
You can joke, but it's great to have a professor who's not only interested, but prepared to give up time to students.
I know. They are a rare breed. Maybe I should sit in on his class sometime. Do you think he'd care?
Not at all. Lots of students bring their friends, and he says he feels flattered.
Well, just to be safe, I think I'll bring my lunch along as well.
I'll make a good student of you yet. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What was the woman doing at lunchtime? Question 23. How does Professor Howe feel about visitors at his lectures? Question 24. When does Professor Howe's class probably begin? Question 25. What does the students think of Professor Howell according to the conversation?
Section B. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. About 300 words in the English language comes from the names of people. Many of these words are technical words. When there is a new invention or discovery, a new word may be coined after the inventor or scientist. It is interesting to observe how many common English words have found their way into the language from the names of people. Lord Sandwich, who lived from 1718 to 1792, used to sit at the gambling table eating slices of bread in that way, so his friends began to call the bread sandwich for fun. Later on, the word became part of the English language. The word boycott means to refuse to have anything to do with somebody or something. It comes from a man called Captain Boycott. He was a land agent in 1880, and he collected rents and taxes for an English landowner in Ireland. But the captain was a very harsh man. He treated his poor tenants very badly. His tenants decided not to speak to him at all. Eventually, word got back to the landowner, and the captain was removed. The word boycott became popular and was used by everyone to mean the kind of treatment that was received by Captain Boycott.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. Who coined the term sandwich? Question 27. According to the passage, who was Captain Boycott? Question 28. What did the landowner do when he found out that the tenants were boycotting his land agent? Passage 2. Telephone books in the United States have white, blue, and yellow pages. The white pages list people with phones by last name. The blue pages contain numbers of city services, government agencies, and public schools. Businesses and professional services are listed in a special section, the yellow pages. To make a long-distance call, you need an area code. Each area in the U.S. has an area code. The area covered by one area code may be small or large. For example, New York City has one area code, but so does the whole state of Oregon. If you want to know the area code of a place, you can look it up in the area code map, which is printed in the front of the white pages. There are a lot of public telephones in the U.S. They have their own numbers. If you are making a long-distance call on a public telephone and run out of money, give the number on your phone to the person you're talking to. Then hang up the receiver, and he can call you back. If you make a long-distance call and get a wrong number, call the operator and explain what happened. This means you can make the call again to the right number without having to pay more money.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. Where can you find the telephone number of a city council in the telephone book? Question 30. Where can you find an area code map of the US? Question 31. What are you advised to do when you get a wrong number in making a long-distance call? Passage 3. One of the most important bank services that a modern bank provides is checking accounts. It is considered safer and more convenient to put your money in a bank and write out checks to pay for your larger purchases. Another important service a bank offers is regular passbook savings. With a regular passbook savings account you have opened in a bank, you will be able to draw money whenever you need it. All you have to do is fill out a form and give it, along with your passbook, to a bank clerk. One more important service that banks provide is traveler's checks. They're very convenient, and your money is always safe. If the checks are lost or stolen, you can receive a refund. For this service, the banks ask for a small fee. One other important service is the credit card. All charges made on your card are sent to the bank, and you are required to pay once a month. To get a credit card, you must fill out a form that requires you to tell about your salary and other income. If your credit is not good, the bank will not give you a credit card.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What is mainly talked about in this passage? Question 33. How many bank services are mentioned here? Question 34. What do you have to do after filling out a form in a passbook bank service? Question 35. Under what circumstances will the bank not give you a credit card?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Buckingham Palace and other royal residences open to the public do not accept euros at their gift shops and entry turnstiles. The new currency was launched in 12 European Union countries on January 1, 2002, but Britain was not one of them. A Buckingham Palace spokeswoman said the decision not to accept the euro was purely a business one and not a political statement. The retail outlets at the official residences have never accepted any other currencies. It is simply because, as very small retail outlets, they don't have the facilities for changing currencies. However, many retail outlets in Britain have prepared to accept the new currency, since millions of tourists are expected to visit the country every year. In 2002 alone, visitors from the Eurozone were estimated to spend more than 6.55 billion euros in Britain. Major department stores Debenhams and Marks Spencer and a big electronics retailer accept euros, but only on a limited basis initially. 29 of Marks Spencer's stores, primarily those in tourist locations, have at least one cash register on each floor to process euro transactions. Its other stores have at least one designated area, either a register or a customer service desk, where the currency is accepted. Products are not priced in euros, however, and change is given in British money. The British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said Britain will only join the single currency if economic conditions are right. A series of recent opinion polls show many Britons oppose the euro and see it as against Britain's sovereignty.
Now the passage will be read again. Buckingham Palace and other royal residences open to the public do not accept euros at their gift shops and entry turnstiles. The new currency was launched in 12 European Union countries on January 1, 2002, but Britain was not one of them. A Buckingham Palace spokeswoman said the decision not to accept the euro was purely a business one and not a political statement. The retail outlets at the official residences have never accepted any other currencies. It is simply because, as very small retail outlets, they don't have the facilities for changing currencies. However, many retail outlets in Britain have prepared to accept the new currency since millions of tourists are expected to visit the country every year. In 2002 alone, visitors from the Eurozone were estimated to spend more than 6.55 billion euros in Britain. Major department stores Debenhams and Marks & Spencer and a big electronics retailer accept euros, but only on a limited basis initially. Twenty-nine of Marks & Spencer's stores, primarily those in tourist locations, have at least one cash register on each floor to process euro transactions. Its other stores have at least one designated area, either a register or a customer service desk, where the currency is accepted. Products are not priced in euros, however, and change is given in British money. The British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said Britain will only join the single currency if economic conditions are right. A series of recent opinion polls show many Britons oppose the euro and see it as against Britain's sovereignty.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Buckingham Palace and other royal residences open to the public do not accept euros at their gift shops and entry turnstiles. The new currency was launched in 12 European Union countries on January 1, 2002, but Britain was not one of them. A Buckingham Palace spokeswoman said the decision not to accept the euro was purely a business one and not a political statement. The retail outlets at the official residences have never accepted any other currencies. It is simply because, as very small retail outlets, they don't have the facilities for changing currencies. However, many retail outlets in Britain have prepared to accept the new currency since millions of tourists are expected to visit the country every year. In 2002 alone, visitors from the Eurozone were estimated to spend more than 6.55 billion euros in Britain. Major department stores Debenhams and Marks Spencer and a big electronics retailer accept euros, but only on a limited basis initially. 29 of Marks Spencer's stores, primarily those in tourist locations, have at least one cash register on each floor to process euro transactions. Its other stores have at least one designated area, either a register or a customer service desk, where the currency is accepted. Products are not priced in euros, however, and change is given in British money. The British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said Britain will only join the single currency if economic conditions are right. A series of recent opinion polls show many Britons oppose the euro and see it as against Britain's sovereignty. Thank you.